I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. I just have to ask you today, what is liberty worth? What is the price that you're willing to pay? What is the price that's been paid for the liberty that you enjoy today? What is the cost? What is the worth? What are you willing to give? And why? Why would you be willing to give anything for an idea like liberty? I was reconnected with my roots. I saw a film last night that I haven't seen in many, many years. A film that I found dear to my heart. I remembered fondly. No, I didn't really remember much about it. The movie is called Johnny Tremaine, and we used to watch it every single year in grade school and middle school. I suppose we watched it when we studied American history. But I watched it again last night, not remembering much about it other than it was about the Sons of Liberty and a young silver apprentice who burned his hand on silver. And I remember it was about the Boston Tea Party, but I didn't remember the details. And I want to tell you, I really sort of sat down understanding that this movie was produced by Disney and understanding that it was played in government school my whole life and thinking, I'm going to sit down in this movie and I'm going to lose all of my fond memories about it, because now that I know the truth about that era of our history, I know the truth about liberty and the Sons of Liberty and the Boston Tea Party, I wonder, will I sit down and watch this film and just be totally dashed because of the propaganda, because of the portrayal of the government's interest in redefining history and liberty and why our framers fought and what the Sons of Liberty were all about. I'll remind you that Barack Obama gave his speech defending the NSA, claiming that the Sons of Liberty were actually a group of men who were working for the government, and that it was just like the NSA spying on us today. So I wondered in my preparation to watch this movie, what is this going to be like? Is it going to be substance that supports this sort of new agenda or an old agenda? Because I know that the Marxist takeover of our school system began around 1885, not 1965. And so here I am sitting down to watch this movie, Johnny Tremaine, with a little bit of excitement and a little bit of memory, of fondness in my heart, and wondering, do I really want to lose that fond memory? And I sat down and I watched. And I want to tell you that I was not disappointed. I had all the memories intact that I had when I was young, fortified by the rewatching of this movie. What a nice production. What a great artistic rendition of the history of the founding of our country. We hear from people like James Otis Jr., Samuel Adams, Dr. Warren, and I'm sitting here and I'm watching this and I'm feeling like a big old nerd because I'm so excited. I'm clapping my hand. I'm like, that's Dr. Warren. That's Mercy Otis Warren's husband. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm so excited. I'm looking at Mercy Otis Warren's husband. And it was just a very exciting thing for me. And because, you know, I am this sort of liberty geek, and I'm watching, and you know, the portrayal was an artistic rendition and not always perfectly accurate, but it wasn't wrong. It wasn't the Sons of Liberty are part of the government trying to defend the government and protecting your liberty through the government surveillance of the citizens. It was certainly not that. And I just, my heart broke and I thought, how far have we come? Because this is a movie that I used to watch in government school every single year. This is a movie produced by Disney. And you're just going to be amazed by what you hear. Now, I have found several clips that I'm going to play for you today because we are going to study this. We are going to look into this and we're going to really understand what this is about. Now that I have this multimedia presentation for you today, I'm very excited about this multimedia presentation that I have for you today. And I want to suggest to you that you please pick up a copy of this movie. You make this a tradition in your home. What kind of holiday traditions do you have? Do you read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas on Christmas Eve? Do you read the story of the birth of Christ on Christmas Day? I mean, what are your traditions in your home? Why not make Johnny Tremaine a tradition in your home to be watched every year to celebrate the independence that our framers paid everything for? Now, the first clip that we are going to hear is a clip from Johnny Tremaine of James Otis Jr. Now, James Otis Jr., I was so excited because I watched this movie as a kid, and somebody planted the seed about James Otis Jr. in my mind early. And I don't know, maybe that's why I have such a love for James Otis Jr. I was wondering if maybe I'm not somehow a descendant of the Otis family. I'm just so impassioned by who they were and what they stood for. James Otis Jr., a huge hero of mine, an attorney as well, a government attorney. And a government attorney who had received one of the highest posts that an attorney could achieve through the king's appointment. And his job as an attorney was to enforce the laws of the king and prosecute those who were in violation of those laws. And the interesting thing is that as James Otis Jr., this government employee tasked with this very important task by the crown, becomes conflicted by the very task the government has given him. Because you see, the government has passed these laws called writs of assistance, which allow the agents of the tax collection and the customs agents to search the colonists' homes and businesses without warrants. The government passes a law that allows warrantless searches of the people's homes and businesses. Now, this is contrary to the liberty charters that our framers enjoyed as Englishmen, as citizens, as subjects of the Crown of Great Britain. And so what we have to understand now is that James Otis Jr. is becoming conflicted by the very task that his government employment requires him to do. He understands liberty charters. He was raised understanding the liberty charters. His father, an attorney, he, an attorney, they both understand law. They both understand the liberty charters of Englishmen. And James Otis Jr. says, I can't do this job anymore. I can't perpetrate the destruction of liberty on my people through the rule of law. and he resigns his post. Now, James Otis Jr. could have walked away, but he didn't walk away. James Otis Jr. instead became a whistleblower. Imagine that, a government employee blowing the whistle on the government's denial of our liberty, of our right to due process, and the government's violation of our liberty through warrantless searches. Wow, there wouldn't be any government employees that you know of that would ever stand and let us know about warrantless searches of our government, would we? Well, listen, James Otis Jr. took this stand. And the minute he did, the government forgot that he had resigned his post, accused him of abandoning his post, and charged him with treason. Wow, a government employee blowing out the tyranny of the government and being called a traitor, being charged with treason. Well, not only that, his community turned their back on him, outcasting him. His neighbors, his co-workers calling him a traitor because he blasted out the government's warrantless searches. He was told he would never practice law in the kingdom anywhere ever again. But James Otis Jr. took a stand. And James Otis Jr. said, I will oppose to my dying breath this tyranny. He said, consequences be as they may, liberty is worth more than my name, he was telling us. He called these warrantless searches, this law called writs of assistance, he called them the worst instruments of arbitrary power, the most destructive of English liberty ever found in an English law book. The government denying the people their right to a reasonable search and seizure, denying them their right to a search and seizure limited only to those produced by a warrant based upon probable cause, based on an oath or affirmation subject to common law court and jurisdiction. A warrant that particularly describes the place to be searched or the persons or things to be seized. These are not instruments of our Fourth Amendment. These are instruments of liberty, binding and chaining our government to preserve the liberty of the people. And James Otis Jr., when we come after the break, is going to tell us why we must stand.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So I watched this movie last night called Johnny Tremaine. A movie that is an artistic rendition of the history of our independence movement. It covers not simply the Boston Tea Party, but I was so excited because it goes into the story about how the government tries to disarm the people as well. I mean, it goes from before, from 1773, actually, all the way to Lexington and Concord. And I got to see in my, you know, in front of me, some of the heroes that I hold dear that are founders of our nation. In this movie, Sam Adams, Paul Revere, James Otis Jr., Dr. Warren, so many of these men who became the very men who would lay the foundation of liberty in this country. And in this movie, we hear from James Otis Jr. Now, James Otis Jr. is an attorney. And at this point in time, I explained to you about the fight that James Otis Jr., he took up against the government and their warrantless searches. So at the time of this clip, James Otis Jr. is done with that fight. he has functionally lost because the court has refused to issue a ruling in his case, allowing the writs of assistance to continue to be enforced on the people, a denial of their liberty. James Otis Jr. is in his 50s. James Otis Jr. has been violently attacked by British soldiers outside a tavern, nearly losing his life. James Otis Jr. also fights with bouts of depression, which can be incapacitating at times. But nonetheless, James Otis Jr. is in this fight for the long haul. And James Otis Jr. is now sitting in a meeting with men. Sam Adams, he's going to be speaking to. Dr. Warren, he's going to be speaking to. And a young man we know from the film named Johnny Tremaine. Johnny Tremaine will be the young voice in this clip. And James Otis Jr. is going to ask them, why are we fighting? Why are we doing this? What is the cause that we are engaging in? And when you hear this, I want you to think about this in your mind. Why should we stand against tyranny today? What is it about warrantless searches that are okay today, but weren't okay in the minds of our framers? What is it about, I don't know, government control and provision that is so much more attractive today than it was back then? Why should we fight?
I hate the presence of these troops or the ministry as much as any of you. But we are not going off into a civil war just to get them out of Boston. Tell me why, then. Why do we fight?
To end tyrannist taxation.
Something more important than our precious pocketbooks. But what is it?
The rights of Englishmen.
Ah. Now we have a glimmer. And it is prophetic that it should shine brightest in the eyes of youth. Rights, yes. But why stop with Englishmen? Is the earth so small there can be room for only one people? Or can we here fight for men and women and children all over the world? For this we can have war. That there shall be no more tyranny. That a few men cannot seize power over thousands. That wherever the sun shines, a man shall choose who shall rule over him. The rights of Englishmen, you say, lad. The battles we shall win over the worst in England will benefit the best in England until the end of time. Even as we shoot down British soldiers, we will be winning rights their children shall enjoy forever. And the peoples of the world, the peasants of France and the serfs of Russia, shall see freedom rising like a new sun in the West. For this we fight. Those natural rights God has given every man, no matter how humble.
Yes, you just heard a Disney movie talk about God-given rights. It's not about money. It's not about taxes. It's about the natural rights of men. Not just Englishmen, but men and women and children across the globe. Why do we fight? Because if we don't, we are nothing but slaves forever, and we will enslave an entire world without the understanding of liberty.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, James Otis Jr. is telling us why we fight. Why we fight for liberty. It is a God-given right. But not simply that. We fight for the liberty not of ourselves, not for our children, but for liberty around the world. And our framers said over and over again, life, fortune, sacred honor, for ages and millions yet unborn. That is why we fight. But what is the cost? What are we willing to pay? What is the price of liberty? John Philpott Curran said that it is the common fate of the indolent to see their liberty stolen by the active. The condition upon which God grants liberty to man is eternal vigilance. And if that vigilance be broken, servitude is his punishment and the immediate indication of his guilt. What is the price to be paid for eternal vigilance? What does that look like? Well, in John A. Tremaine, James Otis Jr. gives us a little glimpse of what the price may be, and a glimpse of what our founders believed liberty was worth.
Some of us will give our wits. Some will give our property. Let those of substance among you think of that. Gold and jewels and fine great houses. Hurts, doesn't it? You, friend Paul, God made you to fashion silver, not to make war.
There's a time for casting silver, time for casting cannon. If that isn't in the writ, it should be.
And you, Dr. Warren, of what use are the fine mind and the skilled hands of the surgeon when they have been mangled in battle?
Then others must do what I no longer can.
And you who are so young, some of you must die. To die young is more than dying. It's to lose so large a part of life. You, my old friend, my old enemy, how can I call you? Even you will give the best you have. A genius for politics. And we need you, Sammy. For we must fight this war in meeting house, in Congress, in the halls of Parliament, as well as on the field. But what it's all about, you'll really never know. And yet it is so much simpler than any of you think. We give all we have. We fight. We die for a simple thing. Only that a man can stand.
Some will give their wits. Some will give their fortune. Some will give their ability. Some will give their lives. And that, our framers believed, was the price of liberty, the minimum price of liberty, a worthy price for a worthy cause. Do you hear the passion? I can't even tell you the excitement that I have in my heart over listening to this and seeing it in front of my face. It's one thing to read the framers over and over again and hear them in your own voice, but it is another to hear them in someone else's who is attempting to embody the spirit and the passion of who they are. This is what liberty sounds like. This is what real men sound like. This is what Thomas Paine called the men and women who will gain the thanks of generations to come. These are not your summer soldiers or your sunshine patriots. These are the men who said, give me liberty or give me death.
We should know what it sounds like to have people who will stand up to tyrannical government and say, no, I'm sorry, not on my watch. Men who are willing to look the government in the face and say, do what you have to do, consequences be as they may, we will not back down. We don't hear that today. Not in the mainstream media, not very often. The only reason we heard it in Nevada was because of the underground media of people with cell phones, and they're trying to stop that now. Well, I want you to hear this, because in this next clip, Dr. Warren is being called into the office of General Gage. General Gage is the military general over Massachusetts Bay. And General Gage has been given orders by the king and by the Secretary of State for America to stand down these rebels, to get them to back down, get some sense, and go back to being subjects of the king. Listen to how this interaction plays out, and you will see what real men sound like.
I am a soldier, sir, and must take my orders from the ministry in power. Those orders are explicit. I must not open this port to any trade whatsoever until the tea has been paid for to the last shilling. And I must stamp out vigorously the least sign of resistance to the ministry's policy. In this connection, there are certain things to which I can no longer close my eyes. The illegal bodies of militia, for instance, drilling on every village green. They must be disbanded. And I am also aware that considerable stores of munitions are being assembled. They must be surrendered at once. That is why I sent for you.
I'm sorry, General, but that I do not have the power to do.
Why not?
Because free men will never consent to give up the means of defending their liberties.
Good day, Doctor.
Good day, sir.
You realize, Doctor, this means that I must enforce my orders.
I do, sir. We have our duty. We cannot deny you yours.
You must disarm yourself. You must comply with the rule of law. You must do this because I'm telling you. You must do this because the crown is telling you. You must do this because I say so. Dr. Warren says, we don't give up our rights. And we don't give up our rights to protect them. This is what the spirit of liberty sounds like. This is the obligation of liberty-loving people. This is the spirit of independence that was birthed throughout our nation. This is what it should sound like coming from the mouths of our people. This is what it should sound like coming from the mouths of our congressmen. Not we need to have a common sense debate on gun legislation. Not that we need to deny you your Fourth Amendment to keep you safe. We have to indefinitely detain you because it's the only way that we can keep you safe. We need to deny you your First Amendment privileges, they say, to keep you safe. To keep society organized and civilized, these privileges that have been granted to you by government, they say today, from Congress. Why is it that we don't have men and women in Congress today that understand that liberty is a gift from God and not a privilege of governments? That understand that only people who want to be slaves disarm themselves. And those who love liberty will not only not disarm themselves, but will not allow the government to disarm them either. He basically looks at Gage and says, you know what? Come on, Moulin the Bey. I'm not going to deny you your duty, but you can't deny me mine. It is my duty to stand for liberty. It's my duty to stand against this tyranny. It's my duty to deny you this power. And what does it sound like in our government today? Common sense debates on gun legislation. Governments with a president who thinks he is a king and says and does whatever he wants. How about we listen to about 30 seconds of what a tyrannical king sounds like?
What was the reason for not informing the 8 members of Congress who would customarily be informed by this?
Brian, I have to tell you the same thing that I've been saying for the last several days, which is we have a rule, a principle, that when somebody wears our country's uniform and they're in a war theater and they're captured, we're going to do everything we can to bring them home. And We saw an opportunity and we took it. And I make no apologies for it. It was a unanimous decision among my principals in my government.
This was a unanimous decision of my principals. This was a unanimous decision of my government. These are not the words of a president who represents we the people. These are not the words of a government instituted among men, deriving its just powers from the consent of the governed, whose purpose is to preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. These are not the words of a man who understands that he is a small part of a limited and defined government, whose purpose is to represent the states in foreign affairs, in the defense of the people's liberty. My principles, he says, my government, these are the statements of a king. You have a king in the White House. And as having a king in the White House, what exactly are your representatives doing about it? I mean, seriously. Somebody had better step up and tell us something is going on. Somebody had better step up and let us know that Congress is working, doing something. Maybe they're secretly planning. Maybe there's a Sons of Liberty Committee birthing in the House of Representatives and they're keeping it all on the hush-hush because they don't want anybody to know what they're really beginning to do. But my goodness, men and women, you better let some of us know. Because you're fixing to have a mess on your hands.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Some men and women will give all. Some men and women will give everything. With the understanding that everything is for everyone. It's not just for themselves. It's not just for my principles. It's not just for my government. It is for the liberty that belongs to ages and millions yet unborn. That's what the words of our government should sound like. That's the words of what, that is what the foundation of our country was established. Life, liberty, property, the right to defend them, and the refusal to give them up. Consequences, be as they may. Will you please find this movie, Johnny Tremaine? Watch it again. Make it a part of your family's tradition. I guarantee you they're not showing this film in your public government schools anymore. It's time for us to take back the education of our children. It's time for us to plant the seeds that were planted in our hearts. It's time for us to become responsible adults, given the gifts of God, to whom much is given, much is required. It is time for us to raise up patriots. I don't know. Is it too late for our generation? I don't think so. We've had the right seeds to be planted. It's not too late for our future. Why can't we adopt this spirit again? We have it in our hearts. It is the heartbeat of who we are. This is America. Barack Obama is not America. John Boehner is not America. Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Eric Cantor, Paul Ryan are not America. Stop letting them be. It is time that we pick up the mantle that was given to us. We've laid it down for prosperity. We've laid it down for convenience. We've laid it down out of negligence and apathy. What is that going to cost us? Not much more. We don't have much time to lose much more. But what will it cost our future generations? What will it cost people around the globe? If liberty dies here, if we become no different than France and Spain and Italy, if liberty dies here, I have to beg you to think about what is left. Who do you want to fight for a gift that was supposed to be given by you? We have to take a stand. We have to understand the price of liberty. We have to understand what it takes to maintain these gifts from God. Let us stand. Let us no longer submit. God bless.
Plant the seed in our home, and boys, let it grow where all can see. Feed it with our devotion, boys, call it the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Save it from the storm, boys, water down its roots, the tea. And the sun will always shine on the old Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. March along with the Piper, boys, we were born forever free. Let's go pay the Piper, boys, beneath the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty.